God's Word Baptist Church this Wednesday afternoon, and we're going to move on to a different study. We had finished talking about the doctrine of Christ, and we had wrapped that up last week, and Lord willing, we're going to move to a newer subject, and we're going to kind of look at some comparisons in Scripture. Specifically, we're going to take a look at how the Lord compares and contrasts various different, if you will, physical things in to spiritual things. We're going to kind of compare certain things in regards to the book of Proverbs primarily is where we're going to find a bunch of those. We're going to take a look at some important principles and how they relate specifically to maturity. So this is a kind of a very broad subject matter, and I'm going to try to kind of whittle it down, if you will, to where we can focus our attention on certain specific principles. And, you know, when we start taking a look at the book of Proverbs, and that's where we're going to start this morning, or this evening, excuse me, in Proverbs chapter 22, we're going to see how the Lord shows us some things about a certain individual. Is that not functioning? All right, hold on a second. Having technical difficulties. How's that? There we go. Yeah, so we got a nice little book. Okay, so we're going to take a look at these comparisons and contrasts, and kind of, if you will, launch from there to look at these comparative studies that we find in Scripture and see what the Lord wants us to understand about our Christian life, and specifically about how we are to be living the way that His will has been designed for us to live in. And in Proverbs chapter 22 is where we're going to start. Proverbs chapter 22. And in verse 15, it says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Now, there's a lot that we can take a look at in there, specifically about the rod, about correction. We've talked about those things before. But the first thing that I want to focus in on is this, in regards to when we start looking at these first two elements, if you will, of the first principle, is this foolishness. Now, obviously, foolishness is something that is done typically by a fool. And what we find here is we find that children have a tendency to behave foolishly. Now, when we take a look at what the Bible says about fools, and we'll get into some details here in just momentarily, I want us to understand that generally we're going to find some principles that will reveal that. When it comes to a child is typically very self-centered because they are just learning about the world. They're learning about themselves. They're learning about how they interact with the world. They're learning about all of those things. But at some point in time, along their training and along their growing up, they realize that they can't live for themselves. Now, obviously, we know that the world out there teaches them that they can't. But if we're taking a look at things from Scripture, we realize that Scripture teaches us we need to train them differently. We need to train them specifically to be aware of other people and to also keep that in mind, that that is what God desires us to do. When Jesus Christ was asked about the law and the greatest commandment, and he said, "Love the Lord thy God," and that was the first part. And then he says, "And love thy neighbor as thyself." And we realize that it wasn't a matter of self-love that was the issue. It's a matter of someone else being involved in that person's life. And again, a person having an understanding that they are put here for a reason. And it's not to serve themselves. If you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and again, I don't think this is too far of a leap based off of what we just read. When we realize that a child typically is going to behave in that way, because they need to be instructed otherwise. As part of the growing up process, we learned that we had to deal with other people. And dealing with other people is part of human existence. You cannot just exclude yourself and become that introvert and agoraphobic and never come out. Those are severe issues. That's not what God desires us to be. And we find that clearly throughout Scripture. And in 1 Corinthians 13, we realize that charity cannot be accomplished, and charity is commanded here. Charity cannot be accomplished if we are only self-absorbed, if we are only thinking of ourselves. Charity must be acted upon with other individuals at heart and in mind. And we find that at the end of this passage, he says very clearly in verse 11, he says, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child." Now, we see some things here very clearly. And here we are beginning to kind of, if you will, integrate some of this concept of maturing in Christ, growing in Christ, with these comparative studies. We're going to see here that he says, look, when he was that child, when he was a young child, he spake as a child, he understood as a child, and he thought as a child. Children speak very differently. Children often have no filter. Can I get an amen? Yeah. You have to learn that sometimes you have to tell them, we don't say those things. That's not something we do. We have to learn how to use our words carefully, as Scripture says. And the whole book of Proverbs lines up in there talking about exactly how we're supposed to do it. And while we look at that and we kind of sometimes think it's cute and things, we have to be careful and make sure that we're teaching the child that a word fitly spoken is what needs to be happening in their life. So when we look at this here, he says, as a child, I speak as a child, I understood as a child. A child has a very simplistic understanding of things. They don't always grasp, deep concepts. You're not going to be able to sit down with a five-year-old unless he's got a very high intellect and begin talking to him about quantum mechanics. It's just not going to happen. They'll probably just look at you and go, snack? that's kind of how that whole thing operates. Their understanding of the world is very different than what we have today. It's very childlike. It's very innocent. And, we like to keep it that way for as long as we can because we don't want them necessarily exposed to the garbage and trash that's out there today. But it's going to happen at some point. That's part of the growing up process. And furthermore, as he says here, understand as a child, he says, I thought as a child. They have a different way of thinking about things. They think of things, again, very simplistically. Well, why can't we do that? Well, here's this, 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 and this, and this. And then they just kind of look at you and go, but why? Because I told you, but why? They don't get it, do they? And you're sitting there trying to explain it to them, and you're just like, just because I said so. And you kind of go with that child and get them to begin to understand concepts that are very scriptural and biblical. They have to begin to understand those things. But here he says in the last part of this verse, in verse 11, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, if you take that in connection with what we have over there in Proverbs, where he says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and we take a look at this here, we can find that at some point in time, we as believers need to move away from foolishness. We have to stop being fools. And when we take a look at what Proverbs is about, we'll find that very clearly that as we look at Proverbs, we're going to find that there's comparisons in Scripture. And we're going to find that as the Lord takes us through the book of Proverbs and various other places that we're going to find there are some comparisons that he does. In the book of Proverbs, you have a lot of those. He will say one thing and then he will present another side. He will compare one thing to another thing. And that's kind of the way the whole book of Proverbs is organized. And we find that in the book of Proverbs, there's a lot of, if you will, this and that are in there. And what we find is an example, you find the froward woman and then you find the wise woman. You find in there, you find individuals that are, or think, principles, excuse me, that are physical, that relate to spiritual. I mean, again, he says these are dark sayings, meaning that you really got to search them. You can't just take them as common sense and just accept it and move forward with just that. You have to begin to look at them much deeper than those things. And what we find in Proverbs is we find that there's essentially two individuals through it, two persons. There's the fool, and then there's the wise. And we have to look at those two comparisons, and that's where we're going to start with this series. And these two persons of the Bible that we see throughout Scripture, really, is we see there's differences when it comes to these attitudes and actions and consequences of somebody that is either wise or somebody that is foolish. And we see that those decisions that those individuals make are going to predict those consequences. Essentially, if you will, almost prophesy or forecast what they're going to be. Because as the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, what does that mean? That means that if you sow bad choices, you're going to reap bad consequences. And that's just common sense, if you will. But I guess common sense is not common much anymore. But what we wind up seeing here is we wind up seeing that very clearly he's showing us throughout Scripture that we have a decision about what consequences we receive based off of what choices we make. And what we find is we find that the Word of God shows that the root of our decision-making and our judgments is going to reveal our attitude towards God in His Word. So this is why we have to understand what a fool is. This is why we have to understand what a wise person is. Because if you take a look at what the fool is, and we're going to do that here shortly, you take a look at what the fool is, you find that that fool has no regard for God and has no regard for God's word. So if we were to take Paul at his word over there saying we need to put away childish things, that means we've got to do away with some of the foolishness that's in our lives. We have to put God in that sacred place. We have to sanctify him in our hearts. And the same thing we have to do with his word as well. We can't just disregard his word. We can't just push it aside as a believer and say, well, you know, I don't really necessarily believe that. If God's word teaches that principle and teaches that concept, that is a concept that we need to apply to our life. It is a principle that we can't just say, well, I'm just going to ignore that. And I've been doing some studies. I kind of got off on a bunny trail on some of my personal studies, and I started going through, if you've ever done this, you understand how quickly this gets deep fast. The names of God. Not just the names of Christ, but the names of God. And you're like, And I went through and I started collating some of them, and I have some notes, and started pulling some data, pulling some stuff from some other resources, going through all of those, and I began to see there are a lot. There are a lot. But one of the key ones that we really truly know based off of John chapter 1 verse 1 is what? In the beginning was the Word. And we realize that the Word of God is very clearly demonstrating who He is. And I heard a preacher say this. He said this once. He said, your attitude towards the Word of God will directly reflect your attitude about Jesus Christ. And when we think about that for a moment, that kind of hits really hard. Because I know there's a lot of people that sit there and say, well, I love God, I love Jesus, and things like that. And then you ask them, okay, well, you know, are you reading your Bible? Well, you know, I just don't do that type of stuff. That's going to directly reflect on what you, your relationship is with Jesus Christ. So we find that this is going to reveal, as we go through these studies, reveal a lot about the attitudes towards God and towards His Word. And then when we study these two persons specifically of the Bible, the wise and the fool, we're going to see that it is intended to provide us tools, and these are necessary tools to get the job done. Sometimes we realize that there's necessary tools to do certain tasks. If you're going to, say, try to put something together that has a Phillips head screwdriver, you need a Phillips head screwdriver. A butter knife is wholly insufficient. Somebody's going to get hurt. We realize we got to use the right tools. Well, praise the Lord, He gives us the right tools. They're all found in the Word of God. And when we look at these, we see these tools and these resources for a believer so that we can grow in Him, so that we can grow in the knowledge of Him, so that we can grow in the knowledge of His will, and we can mature the way that God wants us to be, and that maturity is found in Christ. Doesn't He tell us that we're supposed to grow up in Christ? And I've said it before, and, you know, it is one of those things that, yes, you know, somebody gets up in a pulpit and they can tell a congregation, you need to grow up. And that's a biblical statement, because we should be growing in Christ. And we're going to take a look at some benchmarks about how do we know when we're growing. So the first part that we look at is when we're talking about these comparative studies of the fool and the wise, we're going to see that you have to sit there and meditate on this. Now, I know this kind of sounds funny. And in the day and age where everybody's talking about all this meditation, new age garbage, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you truly have to, if you will, sit and think and purpose to think about God, His Word, and what He tells us. It can't just be done something nonchalant. You can't, it can't be like you're trying to have a conversation with somebody at the same time you're surfing the phone and trying to listen to what's on the television. So, look, those things, I mean, that's poor communication. When we begin to sit there and think about what God is trying to tell us specifically, we have to sit and meditate on it. Meditation is a biblical principle that must be implemented. When we talk about the Word of God, we talk about reading the Word of God. We talk about studying the Word of God. The other day I mentioned praying about the Word of God so that we would receive that instruction. There's also the concept of memorizing the Word of God. And there is meditating on the Word of God. And we find that that is a principle that is very well reinforced in Scripture. We have to think on those things. The psalmist talks about it just like Paul talks about it. So what it's going to do is that meditation is going to show to us, and this is the way that God's going to show us these things. So when we pray the prayer, search me and try me, O God, what are we going to see? Are we going to expect to see it written in the sky? Are we going to get an email, text message? Maybe, you know, we'll get something through WhatsApp or whatever, you know, new thing you're using. No, it's not going to happen that way. Well, how's it going to happen? It's going to happen through the Word of God. God's going to show you. God's going to direct you in it. He's going to show you where you need to change some things. He's going to convict you. He's also going to comfort you at the same time. These are things that we need to understand. And what it does is it makes us meditate and reflect on, okay, what exactly is my heart wanting? What is affecting my heart? And that's the whole concept behind looking at these two individuals. So the first one we're going to start off with is the fool. And I want you to, and there's a lot of verses up there. There's, you know, quite a few points, and we'll get to them in just a minute. You can kind of look ahead, but let's turn first and foremost to the book of Psalms. And we have to start off with this mentality. Psalms chapter 14. And there's the parallel passage that's over there in Psalm chapter 53. It says almost the exact same thing. In Psalm chapter 14, and in verse 1, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they are of abominable works, there is none that doeth good." When we look at that in Psalm chapter 14, in verse 1, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Now look, we are believers, and we are trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We believe that He is God. We believe that He is fully God. At the same time, He was fully man when He was here. And we, you know, while that kind of blows our mind to think about that for a moment, we do believe that. At the same time, one thing that we have to understand about who God is that we believe there is a God. Now, as the Bible specifically points out, it says that the Bible, or in the Bible, it says that the devils believe and tremble. But they are not believing unto salvation. They're not believing unto repentance. They're not doing any of that, okay? You know what they're doing? They're realizing that they know He is God. They know He is more powerful than them. They know that He can easily defeat them. They know that. They understand that. Yet they're still rebellious and they do what they want to do. The same thing is true with human beings. You obviously, I mean, we've talked about it time and time again in Romans 1 where it says that when they knew God, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. And that's what we see today. We see a byproduct of not retaining God in knowledge. Well, what happens? Our science becomes corrupt. I mean, they were discovering all sorts of stuff long, long time ago because they believed God created. And then all of a sudden they start thinking, well, maybe God didn't create. And they became, you know, vain in their imaginations. And the next thing you know is they start spouting off all sorts of things of, you know, we came from a rock that came from a fish that came from an amoeba that came from rain that expanded out of this infinitesimal little dot. And so on and so forth, where nothing came from nothing. God's nowhere near that. And what we look at is when we look at the fool, is we look at it in such a way that we realize that we have to be careful about behaving foolishly and acting like a fool. We do not want to disregard in our thoughts. We do not want to disregard Him in our words. We do not want to disregard Him in our actions. We do not want to disregard God in our life. We will not grow if that is our mindset. Our mindset must be that God is the only God. That He is the Creator. That He is our Savior. He is to be feared. He is to be praised. He is to be glorified. When we understand that concept about who God is, we are not behaving foolishly. The fool is going to say in his heart, there is no God. Now I want you to notice that there when he says in his heart. You know, there's a lot of people that won't admit that they have a hard time believing God. But sometimes their life shows it, demonstrates it. Next thing you know is they start reaping a harvest of something that they planted about unbelief. And it creates some serious consequences in their life. Because look, at some point in time, you got to believe something. And it's either going to believe and trust God or you're going to believe and trust yourself. Which is probably the most dangerous thing that I think you can do. And as I've said time and time again, what happens? We lie to ourselves really well and we believe it for some reason. But here's the issue, is it boils down to We have to behave like a wise person. And the opposite of a wise person, this fool here, is the one that says there is no God. And they don't believe. They struggle with belief. Now look, I understand there's stuff in the Bible that is tough to believe. It's tough. I mean, how does God stop the sun? Well, that means the earth has to stop spinning, unless you're a flat earther, but then, well, we've got other issues. But, you know, so the earth stops spinning. Well, aren't we taught that spinning is necessary for gravitation and so on and so forth and things of that nature, and all of a sudden everything in the universe stops and it doesn't fly apart and it doesn't catastrophically go boom yet? That's a hard thing to believe. And it's also a hard thing to believe when we're going through difficult times to trust Him. It really truly is. Now, I'm not saying that that person's a fool, but we have to be careful about wandering into the territory of a fool. And one of the verses that we're going to look at is the last one, obviously, in Ephesians 5. And part of that concept about walking circumspectly, not as fools, is that we need to make sure that we are paying attention to what we are doing. We have to make cognitive, purposeful decisions in how we behave. We cannot operate off of automatic response, and we cannot operate off of autopilot or muscle memory. We must make it purposeful in our Christian life. Another thing that we find, and if you will turn over to Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10. In Proverbs chapter 10, and in verse 8, it says, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." Now we start talking about prating, and we're going to see that obviously in verse 10. So jump over to verse 10 as well, where it says, "He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall." Here he says it twice, talking about a prating fool. But there's one thing that I realize when we look at verse 8, when we look at this repetitious phrase that is found in Scripture, is that a person that talks too much is not a person that is listening. Somebody that is prating is somebody that is just constantly talking. I will be careful about the term that I use. I used it one time from the pulpit, and people were like, "Ew." But there is a term called logorrhea. I'll let you look it up. And sometimes there are moments in time where that person is just, you know, they're going on, and you just want to reach over with a little tissue right in their mouth, you know, get them to stop at some point. That's not Christian, but you understand what I'm saying is there a fool is somebody that is just going to talk way too much. And when a person is talking, that person is not actively listening. You can't. Because you're too busy thinking about what you're going to say to listen to what the other person is saying. And there's a bunch of stuff that has been talked about this, and there's all sorts of little quotes and, you know, adages out there and so on and so forth about this subject that even the world understands it. And when we think about this for a moment, we realize that, you know, even the world kind of understands this is foolish behavior. And what does the world say? The world says that we are supposed to listen to hear, not listen to respond. And there's a big difference. When we listen to hear, we're wanting to hear everything that that person is saying and receive that and analyze it and look at it and then calculate and formulate our response. Whereas a A person that is a fool, that is prating, they're thinking about what they're going to say while that other person is talking. Now look, I can hear various different conversations at the same time, and I try not to do it. It's a bad habit that I have. And I can hear all these different conversations going on, and it's just one of those things that my mind does that I have to fight. I have to make sure that I purpose to listen to the person without listening to everybody else's conversations going on around me. It's difficult to listen to 4 or 5 conversations at once. It's not possible to do. But I will tell you this, one thing that is very clear is if that person that is wanting to really truly understand what is being said, they are going to listen and then wait to respond. Part of prating not only is talking too much, is not only talking while others are talking, it's not just to fill the void with words, but it is somebody that clearly has no regard for what is said. That's a prating fool. That's a prating fool. Turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Take a look at what he says over here in Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. You know, just back up to verse 2 just to kind of keep an understanding, because he is talking about the fool up in verse 1. He says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven and thou upon earth." You know what that means? You better learn your position real quick. Learn your position real quick. I guarantee you there's been many a boot camp recruit that walks in thinking they're going to give the drill instructor the what for. And they learn really quickly what the drill instructor thinks about them and what the drill instructor's authority is. And that essentially, as they call them in the Marine Corps, they're maggots. Why is that? Because they want them to understand there is a chain of command. There is an authority. There will always be an authority over you. There will always be an authority. The fool bucks that authority. But what we find here is in verse 2 here, he says, you know, we have to understand our position. God's in heaven, we are not. We're here on this earth, right now. And what does he say here? Therefore let thy words be few. Keep it short. Keep it short. I work in the legal world. We don't keep anything short. We find ways to, and I sent this to our team the other day. It was one of those things where it says, this is what happens when your lawyer gets a hold of your Christmas card. And it says, "Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays." That's all the card said. And then it went through and it had all these red lines about, you know, they changing it to, you know, all these different things and, you know, as reasonable and so on and so forth. And it was hilarious. And I sent it and the lawyers were responding back. They said, "I laughed at that way too hard. I shouldn't have laughed that hard." And one of them actually said, I'm sorry, but I can't even laugh at that because I'm having flashbacks of what happened just the other day with stuff like that. So, I mean, you know, we have a tendency to make things more verbose, more wordy than they really need to be. But what a fool does is a fool just fills the air with words because they can. And in verse 3, which is where we're trying to get to, it says, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words." You can always tell who the fool is, the person that does not understand, the person that is ignorant, the person that is unwise, is they are the ones that typically are talking all the time. Man, I have been in business meetings before where you could just generally sense that most of the people, most of the management in there were looking at the one person thinking in their minds, "Shut up." And it was just like, And they're going on and on and on and on and on and on, and on about something that really has nothing to do with anything and has no concept of what they're even talking about. And you're just kind of like, what? What does that even mean? The word salad. And I'll leave it at that. Turn back over to the Proverbs chapter 10 again. And what we find when it comes to a fool is somebody that, again, is not wanting to listen. Now, why is this important? Because a fool that is always talking is not going to be listening to the Holy Spirit. At some point in time, we need to stop telling God what to do, and we need to start listening for Him to tell us how we should be doing things. Because the problem is we come to God and we go, okay, God, here we go. So let me lay out my plan here. I got PowerPoints, I got sock puppets, I got everything. And God's like, that's not going to fly. Just wait, hold on. Let me convince you, God, this is going to work. And we're not listening to what God says. That's the problem with talking too much. That's the problem with prating. That's the problem with multitude of words. So here we find a fool again in Proverbs chapter 18, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. It says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. I'll tell you this. One thing that you have to be very, very careful about is what comes out of our mouths. And a fool is somebody that typically is going to engage in behavior, talking about things that they don't understand and making, if you will, accusations that have no founding. Saying things about individuals that are just simply not true. You know, again, in the legal world, we deal with libel and slander and those two things and the damages that can be caused by it. And sometimes they are monetary and so on and so forth. And, you know, how it affects a person's reputation, things of that nature. And you know what the fool is? The fool cares more about his reputation than somebody else's. The fool is going to care more about what people think about them than what people think about the other person. So what does that mean? That means that, you know, what the person should be doing? A person sometimes needs to make sure that they keep their mouth shut. And they need to make sure they keep their mouth shut so that they don't malign somebody in such a way that it brings another person to think poorly about the other individual. And here he is, and he's being very specific about this, and he's saying, look, this is what this person does. The person that utters these things is a fool because they have no concept of what they're saying and what damage it's going to cause. It's just generally harmful. It's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. And what God wants us to do is God wants us to go through and look at, and you know what? As charity implies, we have to prefer another individual in those things. Now, inevitably, somebody comes alongside and they say, well, you know, Paul and Jesus Christ, they used some hard words. Yeah, I understand they did, but you're neither. And neither am I. Okay? Let's just be real clear on that. I have not received any apostleship, nor am I going to buy one off the internet. I'm not God. I'm not Jesus Christ. I am not the fourth person of the Trinity. I do not have all knowledge. So I generally will have to defer to, okay. Just let it go. But I'll tell you this, the problem that is going to lie with this individual right here is when that person comes alongside and wants to do damage. We know what the Bible says about gossiping, talebearing, a tattler, all of those things that we find in Scripture that are just, they're just wrong. I mean, we understand what gossip is. Talebearing, I mean, again, you know, when we start talking about tale, a tale was something that you would receive with a ship of lading that would come in, or some sort of shipment that would say, here's the tale of everything that's there. And that tale would be somebody that would come alongside and they would what? They would blab everything. As a person that can't keep a secret. There's a person that lies. Now, we know over in Ephesians chapter 4 that he says that stuff needs to be put away from us. That's not the communication God wants from our mouths. So what do we have to do? We have to be wise. We have to be very wise in our decision-making and our judgments about our words and how we say things. The fool has no regard for that. They just go about causing damage. They just cause damage. Turn over to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Now, when we get to this verse and I get to this point, I don't want you to think of anybody else at all. Okay? Right now, I want you to purge your mind of any individual whatsoever when we read this verse. As a matter of fact, I just want us to reflect on ourselves for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, and he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You know what? A fool is going to believe he's always right. He's always right. And they are that mindset of where they say, and as the, again, the little colloquialism goes, I thought I was wrong once, but I was just mistaken. You know, we've got to understand that is a very powerful thing to say. When you can come up to somebody and say, I was wrong. I apologize. Will you forgive me? That should just put everything, just slow it down for a moment. Because I'll tell you this, we can't always be right. Because if we're always right, then we think we're God. And we have a little God set up on our throne that happens to be a mirror copy of ourselves. And typically goes by the name pride. You know what? I tell you this. It is sometimes very liberating to say, I was wrong. It changes the whole attitude of the conversation, by the way. And I'm not even talking about a disagreement or an argument. There's been times I've said, no, I thought it was this. And then I was like, oh, well, I guess I was wrong. But I was wrong. No, it's actually this. Go figure, I learned something today. God forbid, right? Sometimes that's the way we behave. Sometimes we behave in such a way that we think God is forbidding us from learning something. But the fact is that God wants us to go through the learning process. And what we find with this fool is the fool does not want to learn. As a matter of fact, the fool rejects learning. The fool refuses to learn. So when a fool says very clearly, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, he can't be convinced otherwise. I mean, you can present facts. I mean, you can actually go and say, look, here, let me show you. And you can demonstrate to them. You can actually like recreate or do something right there in front of them and show them, look, here, this is exactly. And they just go, yeah, I just don't believe that. Those type of people you can't teach. Do you know what you have to let them do? You have to let them learn the hard way. You have to let them learn the hard way. And trust me, we don't want to have to learn the hard way. I will tell you this. The Bible says that the way of the transgressor is hard. Somebody that chooses righteousness, somebody that chooses to do what is right in the eyes of God, is somebody that's going to have an easy life. You're like, now hold on a second. What do you mean easy life? No, I'm not talking prosperity. I'm not Benny Hinn or any of those guys, okay? What I'm saying is that things are a lot easier when you trust God. Because we have a tendency to really mess it up. So what do we have to do? We have to engage in a behavior that simply says, hey, God is right. Not me. God is right. Because this is the true issue at hand here with verse 15. It's not that he just believes his way is right. He believes his way is right over God. Because it's in his eyes. Well, what about the eyes of God? He doesn't, well, we already established he says there is no God, so he doesn't care what God thinks. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Fool always is going to think that he's right. You know, that's exactly what the nation of Israel was doing. And I know it's hard to call them fools. And I understand that we ourselves are often fools in that regards. We can be foolish. But let me be clear here. When Paul says they went about to establish their own righteousness, not God's, they're doing exactly what he says here in verse 15. That's what they're doing. They think they're right. Turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. And in verse 7, it says, go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. Now, obviously, the Lord's telling you to vacate the premises really quickly because you don't want to listen to a guy that doesn't know what he's talking about. But I want you to go over to chapter 15 and verse 7. Again, parallel in its form and principle. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. You know, there are some people that you can go to that you know. You know? Individuals that you understand they have some wisdom in that subject matter. And those are people that you want to get some advice from. As an example, you don't want to take your car to the guy that says, hey, I can fix it in my garage for $5. And you're like, what? Like, where did you go? Do you have training? Oh, no. It's just something I learned off YouTube. Do yourself a favor. Take it to somebody that knows. Now look, if your buddy knows and he knows how to fix it and knows what he needs to do, great. But have you ever gotten to a point of where you thought you knew what you didn't know? And the next thing you know is you don't know? You're like, what are you running for president? but what I'm getting at is you get so far into the project, you realize you're in over your head. You have to be careful. Now, this verse, these two verses, are really critical for a believer. Especially when it starts talking about things of God. Because there's a lot of people out there on YouTube and on the internet that say things that don't align with Scripture. There's guys that are running around in this area that they don't know. They don't know things about God. And they say some things that are just, you sit there and go, can you give me a chapter and verse? Because you know they don't. And why is that? It's because they have no knowledge of the holy. They have no knowledge of God. They have no knowledge of Christ. They have no knowledge of the Holy Spirit. They have no knowledge of His Word. And what it becomes is just a bunch of man's opinionated garbage, traditions and doctrine. And we have to be very careful about that. So when this means that the wise man, and I know we're talking about the fool here, but you know, here's a word of caution when we think about this. The wise man is the individual that sits there and says, hey, you know what? I need to know my Bible so that I can figure out whether or not that guy's telling me the truth. Now look, I'm not going to say I know everything about the Bible. But what I need to be able to do is I need to be able to know how I can look at things in Scripture so that I can ask, is that guy really, is he knowledgeable? One of my pastimes that I used to do is go through and read other churches' statements of faith. Sends chills up my spine. Nowadays, the statements of faith have been truncated to where they really don't even hardly say anything at all anymore because they don't want to reveal exactly what they believe. That's a red flag, okay? That's a big red flag. So I'll tell you, when you read some of them and I look at it and I go, ooh, well, I know what that means, and I know what that means, and I know what that means. But sometimes you get individuals that don't understand Scripture. They don't understand what the Word of God says, and they can't point those things out, and sometimes they're led astray. The responsibility falls on a wise man to be able to understand those things. But he also falls on the responsibility of a wise man to know, hey, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about. See ya. They're empty words. They're empty words. I want to close with this. Go over to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Jude's a short read. If you got nothing better to do, just read the book of Jude. You'll be done in a few minutes. Just to kind of back up here in this book into verse 8 is where we're going to start. We're going to close with this, and we'll get to the rest of these, Lord willing, next week. But in verse 8 it says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despising dominion, and speak evil of dignities. And God warns about that. And it says, and yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. There's a lot in that verse I really don't quite understand, but I know it's pretty creepy. That's all I'm going to say. Verse 10, he says, but these speak. These are words of a fool. These speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished after the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feasts of charity. And it says, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, there's a lot that's in that passage. But basically, he's pointing out some issues and some problems. And what is that? There's a lot of false prophets that have no idea what they're saying. Like I said, there was a time where I did a funeral for an individual, and this guy came up during that time where, you know, it's the open mic where people can come up and give a testimony. And I tell you, there's nothing that's going to make a guy cringe more than that, because you never know what they're going to say. And this guy comes up, and I see him coming up, and I know exactly who he is, and I'm like, no, here we go. And he gets up there, and he starts spouting his doctrine and so on and so forth. And he was talking about the deceased, and he said, yeah, you know what? I did my best, and I tried to raise him from the dead. Come on, man. To quote. I just like, you know what? That's all I could think of when he was talking. He's foaming out his own shame. And what is foam? It's not a lot of anything. It's something that you take. I mean, so as an example, I in the morning I have coffees and I'll froth my milk. And what do? I take a little bit of milk like this and I make it frothy like that. What did I do? I just added a bunch of nothing. Air. To make it fuzzy and fluffy. Because I like drinking my coffee through fuzzy fluff. You can judge me later. But what I want to say is very clearly, when I look at that, that's what I think of. The clouds without rain. And what does it say? He says they don't even know what they're talking about. They have no idea. And that's what a fool is. Their words are empty. They don't mean anything. Our words are to be purposed and pure, just like God has asked them to be. And the only way to do that is if our words are based out of the Word of God. Now, next week we'll pick up and move on through the rest of these. I was hoping to get a little further, but, you know, again, this is it's an important subject because it really should make us reflect. And not to sit here and say anybody in here is a fool or behaving like a fool, but it is for us to sit back and go, okay, Lord, you want me to grow. Let me make sure these things are not in my life. Lord, reveal them to me if they are. Reveal them to me if they are. That's the concept behind what we're doing with these studies. But let's go ahead and be dismissed with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for this time. Thank you again, Lord, for what you give to us in your word, your instruction, and your guidance. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would use this seeds that we've heard this evening, and Lord, that they would grow and be fruitful in our lives, that Lord, we would avoid these things, and that Lord, we would not be the fool, but Lord, we would be wise unto the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that you give. I thank you again, Lord, that you do give that to us in your word. And Lord, I do thank you for a time and opportunity to study it. And Lord, I just pray that you'd be with all of us as we head back to our homes. And again, Lord, come back on Friday for Bible study and on Sunday for services. That Lord, you'd bless those times. And Lord, again, I just thank you so much for all that you've done for us, above all the salvation that we have through you that makes understanding your word possible. And your Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us. And these things I do ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.